my God, regular podcast episodes of this podcast are back in your podcast feed. Podcast.
Is it that time again?
It is that time again. You know what's funny is the box on purpleroad.com for the Purple Dinosaur podcast goes back 3 episodes, and the third one back is, it's Thanksgiving. Like Thanksgiving is great.
Goes back 3 episodes, and it's like, will the Rockies make the playoffs?
Could the Rockies factor into the NL West race in 2017? very exciting. Hey!
That's what you get.
Hi, everyone.
That's what you get when you lose your mantle as everyone's go-to source for Rockies
He's
podcasting
free.
News.
You know what I discovered the other day? So we're on iTunes. We're on Google Play now. We're on the Stitcher app. We're also on something called Pocket Casts that somebody told me the other day. So if you use Pocket Casts, apparently you've been able to tune in for quite some time.
That's something I used to do like in the back of the class
in middle
school.
Ew, yeah. Gross. You're disgusting. And like in your there were like 3 kids in your high school.
Yeah. I got sent to the principal's office a lot.
That is horrifying. You're gross. He's Anthony Masterson. I'm Tyler Mon. Welcome in. It's it's the latest episode of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast, episode number 124, I think.
The number of games the Rockies will win this season.
Probably, if it's a down year, TBH. When we started this podcast, we had a year head start on the MILB podcast that I started in 2015. That one is now 25 episodes ahead of us.
Yeah, well.
We're at 149 recording that one today.
When you have real jobs.
Right. When you get paid.
And also, this is pretty much all that, everybody else deserves in terms of free content.
Yeah, you jerks. You only deserve once a month episodes of your formerly favorite Colorado Rockies podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
You bunch of jerks. Hi. Welcome in. It is episode 124, a little hostile, sorry. I'm just so much anxiety over my big life decision yesterday, getting a tramp stamp. It's going to be great.
We need to figure out like a poll up and see what should Tyler's tattoo be.
Coors in the small of my back.
I'm thinking if you're going to go Coors, I think you put it in a wrap around. You start on your heart, which is where Coors will always stay for you. Go around your side. Along your back with the O's, and then come all the way back around to the S, almost hitting the C, and it meets right in the middle.
I think you should do it like a wraparound, but like a little angle. Like the S comes around to like the belly button.
I would say if you're going to do that, you got to make some of the O's have barbed wire in them.
Oh, hell yeah. My brother-in-law, who I love, he has a barbed wire tattoo.
Oh boy.
On his bicep, and he's, he's like 36, 37. So he got it back. Not that they were ever cool, but he got him when people were thinking they were cool. And so it's kind of funny. Like they come out and we'll go to the pool with my niece. And he's just got this barbed wire tattoo. And like he said, he really just wants to get it colored in to be just like a solid black band around his arm. And I was like, yeah, sure. And that would look ridiculous, but it would still look better. What you currently got going on.
Putting packets together for the kids' lunches, making little sandwiches and and drinking warm milk with a barbed wire tattoo.
It's something a totally normal father would do. I'm gonna be one of those people with the tattoo. It's gonna be amazing.
If you have any suggestions, tweet us at Purple DinoCast.
I already know what it's going to be, but you're more than welcome to submit your suggestions, and maybe they will be even better than what I'm going for.
Yeah.
Maybe they will be even more meaningful in my life.
Maybe you'll be like, you'll see the suggestions go, you know what? Screw this one that's very personal to me.
You know what?
I'm going to get this.
I do want to get a tattoo that says, why was Jake McGee at DIA?
Yeah.
I do want to get that.
With a little alien to the left and like Fox Mulder from the X-Files to the right.
And then the next session for my tattoo will just be the truth is out there. I'll get that 6 months from now. Yeah, it'll be great. It'll be great. I do kind of have a worry. Like what if I
run differential?
What if I turn into Josh Hamilton though? And I just all of a sudden have a bajillion tattoos.
He's the no dude, angel.
The dude when I met him, the artist was like, yeah, it's like a good thing to dip your toe in the water for tattoos. And I was like, whoa, buddy, this is gonna be the only one. But what if I Josh Hamilton Josh Hamilton got a bunch of tattoos because he was injured. He was rehabbing his injury, and that was like the only place where he could hang out. Like, he wasn't allowed to be at the complex. He was coming back from some type of big injury and surgery. And then he got a whole bunch of tattoos, and then he obviously things went downhill for a little while. I really wish he would be able to get healthy and make a comeback.
Resurface, yeah.
Tim Lincecum is trying it again. I mean, why can't Josh Hamilton?
Yeah.
I don't know. If you haven't read Josh Hamilton's book, by the way, it's fantastic. It's, it's a little... obviously he's a very religious guy. There's a lot of that in there. If you're somebody who's put off by that, maybe it's not the best book for you, but it's a terrific book. And, that dude is incredible. But yeah, I hope somehow that, the Josh Hamilton can make it back. Last year, signed a minor league deal, knee injury, surgery. And, it's about all. He was released.
Never forget that, Root Sports mocked his
addiction problems,
substance abuses.
If you were not, I think that was season one of the PDP. I think that was 2014.
That might have been.
And the Rockies were playing the Angels in Anaheim, and the discussion turned to Josh Hamilton, and they put a graphic up on the screen titled He's No Angel. Actually, maybe it was after he'd been traded back to the,
Rangers.
Because,
yeah.
Drew Goodman and George Frazier went all in on how he owed, Angels ownership an apology.
Oh, right. That was pretty rich.
That was something. Owed them an apology for being a drug addict and an alcoholic who had done everything in his power to save his own life. Yep.
Yeah.
Apologize for that. That's not shaming somebody with a debilitating problem. Yeah, that was cool. We got off the rails very quickly today. So welcome inside. It's this week's episode of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast, the first of what we hope will be nothing but weekly episodes from here on through the end of October / beginning of November when the Colorado Rockies are crowned World Series
definitely
champions.
Definitely
not next week, undoubtedly.
But 2 weeks from now.
Right.
Because next week I'll be in Madison Square Garden for the Big East tournament.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then the week after. Actually, next week will be okay. The following week will be okay for me. The week after that, I'll be in Arizona for spring training. And
you will be
there as well.
Paddy's Day weekend. Yeah.
So we'll get to do a co-episode. Probably Sunday the 18th, because you're going back Monday? Sunday?
I'm going back Sunday the 18th. I'll probably go to the Rockies Giants game.
Okay.
I think on that Sunday.
Then we'll have to go.
That's the one time I can get to Salt River that weekend.
Cool. We'll have to go that day.
Yeah.
I'll try to get hooked up with a daily credential for that day. So I can, we can do cool things like, except we're not going to get stared down by Dave Stewart again. That was the best thing. We recorded an episode.
Got to find somebody else to get stared down by. We can maybe get Zach Greinke to yell at us.
Yeah, that could be. Mike Farron, I'm sure, would yell at us.
Oh,
just
he
as
does
a favor.
That anyway, though.
Just as a favor.
Yeah.
He's such a good dude.
Yeah.
Mike, will you just walk by and stare us down and yell things at us, please? It'd be great. we were recording an episode, I think 3 years ago now, sitting in front of the D-backs office building at Salt River Fields and Talking Stick, and Dave Stewart walked out and gave us a look. And to be fair, we did look super weird. We're sitting there, I have my laptop on my lap, and we have
a
microphone
just
sitting between us. It was a night game. It was 5:45. We're just sitting there recording a show. And Dave Stewart walks out, gives us a look, and then does a double take and just shoots us this Dave Stewart death stare. Ooh, DS. Maybe that's what his initials actually stand
for. He's made so famous.
And, we thought we were going to die. I peed a little. It was scary.
Yeah, but I got on my pants.
we're gross. let's get started talking Colorado Rockies baseball. It is now 7 days into spring training games for your Colorado Rockies, and the season
4 weeks from today, opening day.
Yeah, season's already over. They're 2-4 in spring training. Things are basically done. Might as well just pack it in now. We'll do weekly episodes, but we probably just won't talk baseball. I mean, we generally don't anyway. So.
Yeah.
It sucks that the season had to end this early. But good news is Nolan Arenado, right out of the gate, 2-for-8, 2 home runs, and 3 RBIs for Nolan in his first 8 ABs of the spring.
It's also too bad that Kyle Freeland and John Gray are already 0-1 in spring training.
Yeah, as far as pitcher wins go, not a good start.
Yeah. Yep, that's too bad. But,
it's going to be terrible.
Maybe eventually.
Yeah. Jeff Hoffman.
But no, it's cool to see spring training. It's cool to see games back. I don't care if they don't mean anything. It's cool to see them back.
You know what's weird is now that I'm working in college basketball, spring training is still as exciting to me as always, but I wasn't anticipating it quite as much. Like, I've been doing things that have been fun, I've been excited about for the last couple. Normally, like, you get to the end of the Super Bowl and I'm like, oh God, kill me until the end of this month. But this year, like, I was actually doing things and enjoying things, and then pitchers and catchers reported, and I was like, oh man, yeah, and then baseball comes up. This is so great. So that was fun.
Yeah.
That's good. But yeah, your Colorado Rockies, getting things started. The surprise of the spring so far, if I had to say, the thing that I was most excited about, it would be the, what would you say? Scorching hot start to the spring from Rockies prospect Max George, who was batting 1,000 with a 5,000 OPS, the Regis High School product, and 2014 6th-round draft selection, because he's 1-for-1 with a solo homer. That's big stuff.
That is big stuff.
Max George is only 21 years old. You never know. You never know what's going to happen.
Maybe he'll crack camp with the team.
Could be. Just right out of – where did he finish? Yeah, he was back in Asheville last year at 21. Hey, there's nothing wrong with being in the Sally League at 21. It's a fine age.
Asheville's a nice place.
Yeah, Asheville's great. Better than Lancaster. I've never been to Lancaster, but I assume.
It's not great.
I assume.
Our buddy Jason Schwartz is there.
Yeah, yeah. And I did not mean to dump all over your place, Jason. Although I think he'd probably agree. Yeah, soon we're going to have to get him back on. Doug Maurer, the Asheville tourist, who I think is still there. Every year I'm like, when is Doug going to get some awesome job?
Because he's awesome.
And move up, because Doug is great.
Also, but yeah, Asheville is a great gig.
Yeah, that's true. Asheville really is, like, if you're going to be stuck in a minor league city, that is one of the best ones to be stuck in, as opposed to places like, you know, Altoona, Pennsylvania. yeah, no, Doug's still there, so we'll get a chance. Josh Sushon, our best pal with the Albuquerque Isotopes. Jeff Dooley and the guys with the Hartford Yard Goats, we'll get a chance to talk to everybody. And yeah, I'm excited. This is going to be a fun year. We'll do that, you know, as the season gets started and we know which prospects are headed where. But for now, the focus is on the Major League club with the 2018 season sort of underway. And looks like this is the team.
Yeah, that seems to be how it's going to be. The guys they have in camp are going to be the guys that they go to battle with, it would appear.
Looks like
You know, the Rockies came into camp then with some issues, maybe at first base. Was it going to be Ian Desmond? Was it going to be Ryan McMahon? Some issues in the outfield. Could David Dahl come back healthy? Raimel Tapia, where does he fit? Parra is injured. You know, you have Charlie Blackmon still. No cargo this year, obviously. What's going to happen there? And there's, with the slow free agent market, I figured there's going to be a lot of time to wait and find out the market and see who's going to go where. But there were still some really nice veteran options of guys who had big years last season who were going to come on the very cheap, like Logan Morrison, yeah, and Lucas Duda. And within the last week, both those guys are now gone for basically peanuts. Like Logan Morrison signed like a $6.5 million 1-year deal with a club option for a second year that could get him like, I think, $10 more million, which is what a significant. He had 38 home runs last year for Tampa. Last year, Lucas Duda, 30 plus homers. He got signed by the Royals for 1 year, $3.5 million.
Yeah.
$3.5 million is like what every major leaguer should basically be worth if they stay there for a full season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's interesting to see how this front office views the team they have in camp right now, because they must be very bullish on a guy like Ryan McMahon, on David Dahl's health, and how Raimel Tapia can actually stay for a full season, because, you know, it would have been very, very easy to go out and get one of those guys, especially a guy like Tudor for $3.5 million. You didn't have $3.5 million lying around. Like,
right.
I mean, Logan Morrison maybe wanted more. He wanted to get a second year. Who cares? Tudor got 1 year, $3.5 million from the Royals, who are not going to be anywhere near contention this year.
Yeah.
Like, and you couldn't even get anybody for just a backup for Ryan McMahon in case he struggles early, you know, in case he has some kind of issue, an injury, anything.
Right.
Because if he doesn't work, then it's Ian Desmond back at first base. And we don't know how that's going to work this year.
Yeah.
And then you're shuffling all somebody else out in the outfield. It would have seemed very, very easy to get somebody like Duda or Morrison. And like, if you're going to sign Mark Reynolds to a minor league deal, like, just do it already.
Right.
You know?
Right. Like,
why wait?
Yeah.
That's what I don't get. I don't know.
No, I'm with you. The first base thing is odd to me because I guess there's something to be said for letting a young guy go into the spring with, all right, this is your job. You just got to earn it. Yeah. But don't you think you'd want a little competition at first base for Ryan McMahon?
Yeah, and listen, this is not a knock on Ryan McMahon.
We love Ryan McMahon. Friend of the PDP. He has been on the show, among the friendliest dudes you'll ever meet. Love Ryan McMahon. And to be honest, I think Ryan McMahon is going to be a very good major league player. I think Ryan McMahon offensively is going to be an above average major league hitter. And I think defensively, he'll hold down a very fine defensive first base. He's not going to be Todd Helton. He might not even be Mark Reynolds, who was decent toward the end of his defensive time with the Rockies. But I think Ryan McMahon is going to be a serviceable first baseman on the defensive side. He's also 23 years old, so there's a lot of time still for Ryan McMahon to get things figured
19
out.
19 big league at-bats. That's more the issue than anything
right,
else.
Right. There is no knock here on Ryan McMahon. I just think there is a good amount of risk that comes along with handing a middle of the lineup big-time spot to a guy who has 19 major league at-bats. And yeah, at some point, every great player is young, and every great player has only had a handful of at-bats, and they're going to struggle in the early stages of their career. Yeah, that's true, and I get it. But this is a season where the Rockies need all hands on deck from the start. You cannot afford to go out in April and have somebody have a Trevor Story like April from last year, where you're just looking at a black hole in the lineup, especially at a place where you need some pop, right, like your first baseman. And so I'm not saying that is what's going to happen with Ryan McMahon. What I'm saying is it's more likely that that's going to happen to a 23-year-old with 19 major league at-bats as teams start to figure him out than it is if you have a veteran option there. And that's even if Ryan McMahon is your starter, but you have somebody there as insurance who can play that role going forward. And maybe that's how they view Ian Desmond. Maybe I think what the thought process is right now for the Rockies is Ian Desmond is the security blanket there. He is the safety outlet. And if Ryan McMahon struggles, he goes there and you have a little bit more of a wealth of outfielders that you can play from, whether it's Dahl, Tapia, Parra, Blackman, whoever else is going to get mixed into that role. I think that's probably how you're viewing it right now if you're the Rockies. You want a ton of versatility. You want guys who can play all over the place, and you're going to let Ryan McMahon try to do this and figure it out on his own. If he struggles, then I guess Ian Desmond is the guy you turn to. But at the same time, it just seems like if there are options that have been out there and there are options that have been cheap, it's possible the Rockies took a long look at those guys and just decided for whatever reason, yeah, we don't feel like putting that type of money into those guys, even though it wasn't much money at all. I don't know.
I don't know.
It just seems a little odd to go in. It would be one thing if Ryan McMahon had finished and played the second half of last year and shown glimpses of what he can do. But to only be through 19 at-bats in his major league career, there's just a lot of risk carried with this. And the Rockies are not averse to risk, obviously, in recent seasons. But what's different about this compared to recent seasons, they have a very serious window of contention that's opening right now. And if you go through a month or 2 months of the season where your young guys are really struggling, if it's McMahon, if it's Dahl, if it's Tapia, if it's whoever, that can really hamstring you, especially in a division where you know the Dodgers are going to get off to a good start. Maybe they'll probably play 800 ball at some point for 6 weeks during the season. The D-backs don't appear to really be going anywhere, despite the fact they lost JD Martinez. So I don't know. That's just what worries you a little bit.
Yeah. And one name that I think could be an interesting piece to bring in to talk about is Mike Napoli. Now, I know he just signed a minor league deal with the Indians, but the weird issue with that deal was that the Indians respected Mike Napoli so much and didn't want him sticking around that weird free agent camp going on down in Bradenton. They wanted him to be with the major league camp to basically use him in their lineup during spring training and try out for other teams.
Interesting.
Because they loved him so much when he was there 2 years ago when they went to the World Series. He hit 34 home runs. He had a tough year last year. Still hit 29 bombs, but who didn't last year? He could be an interesting guy to bring over as a platoon kind of guy, a veteran first baseman who can hit some dingers and play some first base if McMahon struggles, or if he has issues against lefties or needs a break. Look at maybe Mike Napoli, because the Indians and the Rockies are both in Phoenix. They can see him very easily. I don't know. That's just one name that kind of popped up on my radar.
Yeah. Here's a name that's on my radar. Carlos Gonzalez.
Who?
Never heard of him. Cargo is still without a job. And the Rockies have not obviously been willing to open up the wallet for Carlos Gonzalez. But what stands out to me about this situation with the Rockies is there was even a story on Rockies.com the other day in which Thomas Harding talked to a bunch of guys around the clubhouse who just talked about, yeah, we really miss Cargo. We miss his clubhouse presence. We miss his ability to keep things light. You know, there's a lot of stuff that comes along with Cargo that isn't just, oh, Cargo is a stud more days than not on the field.
Oh, he's hitting .274 right. With, you know, 28 homers. Yeah.
Which toward the end of last season, I mean, Carlos Gonzalez obviously was very rough through the first 4 months of the year. Cargo still rebounded last year to bat .262, .339, .423, .762 OPS. Respectable numbers, not great numbers. The power numbers were down, obviously. But those numbers changed so much once he got that thing figured out, whatever the hell was going on.
Once he started sleeping. When he, literally sleeping.
And the way he gripped at his bat, which was
like, oh,
also very
strange. I'm going to go try to get 8 hours of sleep a night. Like,
right.
Oh, okay, so in September he hit .377 with 6 homers and OPS .1250.
These are Cargo's numbers in June. Cargo bottomed out, batted .172 in 18 games with a .587 OPS, 2 homers. July, a .254 average, a .610 OPS, 0 homers and 6 RBIs. August, .279, .333, .419 the slash line, so a .752 OPS, 2 homers and 15 RBIs. September, .377. .484, .766, a .1250 OPS, 6 homers, and 16 RBIs. He also walked 15 times in August, in September, which was vastly more than any other month throughout the 50% more than his next best month in the season. I just think the potential is there, and I've said this all offseason. If Cargo does not get a job and he goes to Scott Boras and says, you have to find me an employer at some point, I think he's probably willing to take less money to come back here than he would be to take the same money to go elsewhere. And if he's also willing to be a guy who can play in the outfield while Ian Desmond shifts to first base if Ryan McMahon struggles, there's a solution. Cargo is 32 years old. Carlos Gonzalez is not done in his major league career at all. Cargo is 32. He won't be 33 until the middle of October when the Rockies are running through the National League Championship Series in 2018. So I think it's an option. And they talked about this last year a little bit of maybe giving Cargo a look at first base. I think with his athleticism, Cargo would probably be a very fine first baseman. I don't know if that's something that's in the cards. But if we're looking a little bit outside what is right now appearing to be the formula going toward opening day, look at that, man. I wouldn't be averse to that at all.
No, and I mean, he'd be the handsomest first baseman in baseball.
Yeah, that's true. Whew, man, those eyes.
I mean,
just make me uncomfortable.
So I don't know. I'd like that idea. It's, I mean, I think he'd be much more receptive to coming back to Colorado than anywhere else. I would imagine. I think there's still a lot of respect there on both sides. I don't think he thinks that the Rockies have done him wrong in this whole situation.
Right, right.
I think he kind of knew that he was going to be moving on.
And Jeff Breidich said, we've kept in touch with both Cargo and Mark Reynolds. There's nothing new to report there, but we've been in conversation with them all offseason. So it's not as though Cargo got done in October and the Rockies are like, all right, good luck, see you later, and they deleted his number out of their phone. I don't think that's how it works with major league organizations anyway. I'm sure multiple people have his number.
I mean, I bet it works like the Braves. I bet the Braves do that.
Yeah. Ask copy. but I think there's a chance. I think there is still a chance that Cargo ends up back here before opening day. Call me crazy.
We're gonna look like such idiots when like nothing happens.
Oh yeah, I know. But hey man, you know, Jake Arrieta is out there. Lance Lynn is out there.
Yeah, and listen, it's interesting that we view the Rockies as not having done much this offseason
right.
Because they did
when
it.
They're the
because
team that only did everything. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Everything was in November, December.
They were one of the teams that committed the most money to free agents this offseason. When an offseason where nobody's committing money to free agents whatsoever, the Rockies did one of the better jobs, I guess. They got Wade Davis, they got Brian Shaw, Jake McGee, Chris Iannetta for about $114 million. They've done nothing since then, but you know, I know it was a while ago, but they still did a lot this offseason to improve their team, a team that they liked already. they knew they had Dahl coming back. And if I know it's tough to count on David Dahl to be productive, but you know, they had a plan in place, it would appear. Now, should they have adjusted those plans once the free agent market proved to be not what they thought or not what anybody had seen since the late 80s when collusion was happening in Major League Baseball? Maybe. But that's neither here nor there. They had a plan. They're trying to go with it.
So, you know, get in touch. Let us know what you think. We're on Twitter at Purple Dinocast. If you like this cargo idea, if you don't like this cargo idea, get in touch. Let us know why. I just think it'd be...
His name is Tyler Mon at Tyler Mon. Do not drag me into this if you like it. Oh. I'm very sensitive.
Oh, thank you. That's some real good loyalty we have here. No, that's cool. No, that's cool, though. Yeah. You're not a jerk at all.
Nope.
Okay, so that's the first base situation. Beyond that, things seem to be pretty well solidified. I think the one question that still pops up, at least somewhat, is who is going to be backup catching behind Chris Iannetta, at least at the start of the season? Because Iannetta is going to be your guy out of the gate. I think if you're the Rockies, ideally, Chris Iannetta gives way at some point to a younger, more promising future member of this organization.
They signed Iannetta to be the majority guy, but not to be a long-term solution.
Right.
It's a 2-year, $8 million contract. They're not paying him $40 million.
So behind Chris Iannetta, is it going to be Tom Murphy? Is it going to be Tony Wolters? I think that's basically it. And I think if you are the Rockies, you at some point really want to see Tom Murphy turn into the guy that you have expected him to be. That hasn't happened yet. Granted, he's only played in 4 games so far this spring, and he's gotten 11 at-bats, and his one hit is a home run. But still, we haven't seen flashes at the major league level from Tom Murphy as of yet. We did see them from Tony Wolters 2 years ago. Last year, not so much, and he regressed defensively. But the Rockies have never developed good catching. The best one that they ever developed was probably Chris Iannetta. And Dan O'Dowd did a Dan O'Dowd thing where for some reason he just started hating him one morning and got him out of the organization. So that really right now, like that kind of seems to be the only thing that's up in the air. We don't know exactly what the outfield situation is going to be. You know that you have Charlie Blackman. David Dahl is assured of a starting spot if David Dahl is healthy. But aside from that, like, not really. I mean, I guess if David Dahl goes through the entire spring and doesn't get a hit, he started off 0-13, then maybe you look at it and go, all right, maybe
hey,
figure this
the
out.
The fact that he's played in 5 games, has 13 at-bats is more important than the fact that he has no hits.
5 out of 6 games is very important.
That's the most important thing, in my opinion, for David Dahl.
Right. You know, is Jordan Patterson a guy that they could look at? Jordan Patterson has started hot this spring, and he's been marooned in AAA the last couple of years. But you know Charlie Blackman's going to be there. Gerardo Parra, when he gets healthy, he'll be in the mix. Ramel Tapia, what a shocker, is hitting .333. So you're a little bit at least more clear on what that picture is going to look like. First base, it appears right now all signs point to some clarity on what that looks like, but I think there's a legitimate battle in who is behind Chris Iannetta right now.
I mean, it's at some point it's got to be Tommy Murphy.
Yeah.
I mean, you like that he's still getting work in AAA and getting at-bats, whatever, consistently, if he's going to step in and be the starter at some point. But, I mean, Tony Wolters, he had the great year defensively a couple years back. Last year regressed in pretty much every way possible, didn't hit at all. His framing was substantially worse than last year. His defense was substantially worse than last year or the 2 years ago. I'm not sure. You know, the metrics can be a little wonky on that, of course, but you know, I'm not sure he's necessarily a guy you want to keep spending a roster spot on in the big leagues.
Right.
And that's no offense to him. Like, that's not many guys can do that. He's versatile. He can play second base, but do you want that out of your backup catcher? I don't know. So that's why I think it should be Tommy Murphy. I think no matter what, I think you keep Tommy Murphy up at the big league level. You get him a couple starts a week. You let him just be in the big leagues. You let him prove that he belongs and, you know, take the charters and come to the locker room every day and, you know, be with the guys and be a big leaguer. I mean, at some point, you know, you've done all you can at the minor league level. You can't do anything else. At least be in the big leagues and at the very least think that you belong there. And honestly, he's got a profile that does fit. A powerful power hitting catcher. I mean, not much defensively necessarily, but he should be a guy who can be in the big leagues and be able to provide some thump off the bench if needed.
The our good pal Ryan Freemeyer just tweeted a moment ago, using the Zips projections and lineup tool from Baseball Musings, the optimal Rockies lineup in 2018 is DJ LeMahieu, Charlie Blackmon, Ian Desmond, Nolan Arenado, Ryan McMahon, Trevor Story, David Dahl, a pitcher, and then Chris Iannetta.
That's a little fascinating, putting Desmond in the three hole.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
That's very interesting.
But this is also another big question the Rockies had this year. Obviously, we went through a lot of it last year, and my God, I got very tired of it. Who should lead off for the Rockies?
Right.
I understand Bud Black's decision to keep him there last year because it was going so well for Charlie. Didn't want to mess him up at all in any way, shape, or form.
And baseball players are creatures of habit. I don't know if you've ever heard that before.
I have not, but I'm going to write that down. So I get it. But now you have spring training. You have chances to mess with it a little bit. Charlie Blackmon, I think, proved himself. He's not just a slap hitter guy anymore. He is a legitimate power threat and one of the best hitters in the National League. So you want him up with more people on base. You don't want a guy hitting behind him because Charlie gets on base so well that hits a lot of balls on the ground. So you don't want a guy like Ian Desmond or a guy like DJ LeMahieu. I think you want somebody who can maybe drive him in or can get on base and then be driven in by Charlie. That's why I do like the idea of DJ LeMahieu leading off. I think that would be a good spot for him. If he hits the ball on the ground, hey, it's only one out. It's not a league-leading 29th double play or whatever he hit into last year. And the new way of lineup construction is that you have one of your best hitters, if not your best hitter, hitting in the two hole. And Charlie Blackmon right now, I think that's arguably correct. I think he might be the best hitter in the Rockies lineup. I think Nolan is the best power hitter. I think Charlie may be the best hitter overall. So I don't know. I like the construction there of LeMahieu and Desmond. I'd probably throw Arenado or LeMahieu and Blackmon. I'd probably throw Arenado in their three hole instead of Desmond.
Yeah.
Because unless Desmond has figured out how to hit a ball in the air this year, that's just having DJ LeMahieu behind Charlie Blackmon all over again, just one spot down in the lineup. So, I mean, they even tried batting Ian Desmond leadoff the other day. So, Bud Black's trying things, seeing what works, what doesn't, what guys are comfortable with, and that's what spring training is for. I mean, spring training, it seems like it started super early this year, but that's because the season is going to be starting super early this year. March 29th is opening day for a Thursday, so that'll be fun. But, this is where you try things and why you try them. And I think if we go into into the regular season and you have DJ hitting first and Charlie hitting second, I think we will have felt vindicated.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to put it. I think the overriding lesson of all of this is you feel good about this in a two-pronged way. One, for the vast majority of this roster, everything is set. And the things that you're debating are not between, are they going to keep Kit Pello on the roster? Like, it's not bad players that you're talking about. So that's exciting. Two, the things you're discussing going into a Colorado Rockies season have nothing to do with the pitching staff. You know what I mean? Like, how bizarre is that? That we're going into a season and it's like, well, we know the pitchers are set.
Yeah.
Like, what? What? How? In what world does that make any sense? That's exciting, though. That's a terrific asset for this team.
Yeah. It sure is.
How about Yency Almonte so far, by the way?
Yeah, and that's the thing. The
Friend
Rockies
the
maybe have too many pitchers. I don't know.
Too many cooks.
Too many cooks.
That's a terrific thing. Yency Almonte, Yency Almonte is a really interesting case study because I interviewed him a couple years ago for Rockies Magazine. And he basically said, like, yeah, I got traded twice before I was like 21 and I don't ever want to be traded again. So I'm going to try to be
23.
Really good. Yeah, exactly. That's so ridiculous. In his two full seasons since jumping into the Rockies organization, in 2016, between Class A Advanced Modesto and Double A Hartford, and keep in mind, Modesto grossly warps your numbers as a pitcher, not Modesto itself, but the California League. Yeah. Modesto was actually
not as bad.
Modesto is actually pretty even-handed as far as the California League goes, but being in the Cal League warps your numbers a little bit. Yeah. And still in the Cal League, he had a 3.71 ERA and 22 starts, struck out 134 batters in 138 in the third innings, only walked 39, and had a whip of 1.178. Combined, between there and Hartford, in 27 total appearances, an ERA of 3.58, whip of 1.194, 156 Ks and 168 and a third. Really good numbers. Last year, between Hartford and Albuquerque, and his numbers in Albuquerque were not great, so these are really based on the numbers in Hartford. 8-4, if you like pitcher wins, 2.91 ERA. Out of 22 appearances, 21 were starts. He struck out 93 in 111 and a third. Those numbers down a little bit. The walks were up a little bit, 52 in 111 and a third. But he limited the damage. He only allowed 36 earned runs, 39 runs total. The ERA at AA in 14 starts was 2.00. And Yency Almonte is a guy who was basically a throw-in. I mean, was not a dude that the Rockies.
Tommy Canely.
That was a Tommy Canely deal. Like, that was not a massive move for the Rockies.
To be fair, Tommy Canely, he was moved for not performance reasons.
Right, right. He was moved because he didn't like LaTroy Hoggins peeing on his hotel room floor.
Neither here nor there.
Neither here nor there.
All right. Well, the fact that they traded Tommy Canely, which everyone thought, like, oh, that's weird because he throws 100 miles an hour and has a great
changeup. And he was a Rule 5 pick. Like, they got him for nothing.
Yeah, and so they got Yency Almonte for him. Like, oh, who's this A-ball pitcher they got for this big league reliever? Well, he turned out to be pretty all right for both teams. I don't know.
Yeah. So Almonte is a guy who could factor in. There are names that you've seen in AAA. You've seen them throughout the organization, you know, roster lists in recent seasons. Sam Howard is another one to keep an eye on. Sam Howard had a really good finish to 2017. In Albuquerque, and is another guy who I think most people haven't heard of Sam Howard the way they've heard of everybody else because the Rockies have had so much other talent coming up around him. But Sam Howard last year goes out, makes 9 starts in Hartford, 2.33 ERA, strikes out 40 and walks 10 and 46 and a third, a whip of 0.885, then jumps up and makes 15 outings, 14 starts in Albuquerque, keeps the ERA to 3.89. Walks jumped up a little bit in AAA, 33 over 81 innings. He struck out 64, but again, was able to limit damage there for the most part. Sam Howard is a very good pitching prospect. He's also a lefty, so that's something to keep in mind too. But that's what the Rockies have right now as an asset in this organization. They have really good talent that you've never heard of, and that speaks to the depth they've been able to build over the last several years, especially through the draft.
Well, you're looking at right now, the bullpen is constructed backwards. You got Wade Davis, who has not pitched yet, but that's no big deal. I mean, you don't need to force Wade Davis into action right now in February when you have a long spring training. Jake McGee either has not pitched. They signed him this offseason. Brian Shaw has not pitched either. But that, again, those are your 7th, 8th, and 9th inning guys. You haven't really seen most of the guys who you're going to see in the Rockies bullpen this year pitch that often. Chris Russell's made one appearance. Adam Ottavino's made two. But for the most part, it's been a lot of the younger kids trying to get a chance to prove themselves against, you know, Erzat's big league talent early on in spring camp and trying to prove that they can. Mike Dunn has tossed a couple of nice innings. But I like the fact that you're seeing some guys and you're seeing what these guys possess and some of the impressive arsenals these guys have. I mean, you haven't seen much of Yency Almonte in person, but you saw him the other day and you're like, oh, this guy's got big league stuff.
This kid is good.
It's the same way that I saw Herman Marquez.
Yeah,
last
that was
training.
The exact same comp.
I hadn't really seen him much in person, seen some video from minor leagues, whatever. I saw him pitch in a spring training game, and I'm looking at myself, and I'm thinking, this guy's got really good stuff. Like, it's just the curveball's snapping off. He's hitting 98. You're like, oh, like, this guy could actually be decent. And then you saw him what he did last year in the big league level. Yeah. You know, had some growing pains, but had a very, very successful rookie season pitching in Denver. So this is where you're able to see some of those guys that you might be able to help you throughout the season or help you in the long run. Because the Rockies, as we've shown for how many years now, 25 years, you're always going to need more pitching, no matter what. Relievers, starters, you're never going to go in with 5 starters and have them throw every 5th day of the entire season.
Right.
So you're going to need guys like Yency Almonte sitting down there in AAA. Chad Bettis looked really good too in his first start. And more important than Chad Bettis is just out there, you know, with the guys, and he seems to be in a good place. This is why I love watching the like 8th inning of spring training games. Just, I know the the results don't matter at that point. It's usually guys who will be facing each other in single, double A in the next couple of weeks. But I love seeing those guys compete with the big league uniform on, because to them, this is like pitching in Game 7 of the World Series. And I know it's that's, you know, maybe overkill a little bit, but, you know, they're getting a chance to pitch in front of the front office, in front of the Major League coaching staff, against someone else wearing a Major League uniform. It is their chance to prove that eventually they could be up there pitching it in the big leagues for real.
Yeah, for some of these guys, that's the closest they're ever going to get to the big leagues.
That's, I mean, also true. Yes.
Pitching in big league games in spring training is a very, very big deal. And another guy that I just want people to keep an eye on this year to see what happens in 2018 is Jesus Tinoco. Tinoco was a member of the Troy Tulowitzki trade, along with Miguel Castro and Jeff Hoffman and another guy, Major League shortstop I've never heard of. But the 2018 for Jesus Tinoco is going to be big, because 2016, Jesus Tinoco was a train wreck. The Rockies acquired him in 2015, and he was fantastic. Made 7 starts in Asheville, an ERA of 1.80, struck out 37 in 40 innings, a whip of 1.1. He only walked 8, was fantastic after the trade. 2016, the bottom fell out. ERA of 6.86 combined between Modesto and Asheville. Couldn't hit the strike zone, was just hittable, was eminently hittable. He had a whip in 4 starts and 13 and a third innings with Modesto. He had a whip of 3. Like, ugh.
That's not great. I don't think.
But last year, bounced back with Lancaster. Lancaster is the most hitter-friendly ballpark in the minor leagues. He put up an ERA of 4.67 there in 24 starts. The walks were a little bit higher than what you'd like, 50, compared with 107 strikeouts in 140 innings, 140 and two-thirds. But goes out and really kind of reestablishes himself as somebody to watch. Tinoco has a very live arm. He's kind of one of those lithe, like lively dudes. He's listed at 6'4", 190. So he's got a lot of limbs, like a lot of things, moving parts coming at you in the delivery. He's a guy to keep an eye on. I don't think we'll see him, you know, in Albuquerque this year. But if he succeeds, whether he goes back to Lancaster or he goes to Hartford to start the year, somebody to keep an eye on, you know, like Yency Almonte was last year, somebody to keep an eye on. So the fact they have this depth and they have these resources of guys who otherwise, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, the guys you would have been talking about as like pitchers to keep an eye on in AA and AAA were not that good. And now the Rockies have built this type of depth in the system, that's extremely promising and extremely exciting to keep the window open for a while.
Yeah, and I'm kind of over a lot of I've seen from people on the internet. Just like, people are already so fatalistic about this Rocky season because that's what they're used to being.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how to embrace happiness.
No. And that's just Twitter in a nutshell. But I'm just so over people like worrying already about it, about what's going to happen in August, or like, what if this happens? Right. What if this happens? Like, you don't know. Just watch the games.
And that's the point of spring training. Like, we're supposed to be excited and optimistic.
Yeah. Everybody's supposed to be excited at this point. Right. Every single team thinks they can contend, unless the Rays. Like, you're not the Rays, but like, everybody else thinks they can contend. Even they're probably stupid, but everybody can. And this is the most important Rocky season we have had in a decade.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so thrilled to see what happens this year. It might suck. Yeah. Everything might suck. I don't know, but I just want to see this team play again, because I'm excited about what this team can do. They made the playoffs last year. They've got a better team, I think, this year than last year. I want to see what they do. Like, why is everybody already trying to poke holes in this? I think people are just bored.
I think they're bored, A, and B, we honestly don't know how to experience any type of happiness. Like, really, I think that's actually sort of the case.
Yeah.
I think we don't.
Oh, well, let me get duh. Yeah.
I think we don't. By the way, here's a baseball related story that is sort of hilarious. Quote, it's baseball / Colorado related, so hence the reason why I'm going.
Oh, yes.
A baseball coach at Texas Wesleyan University who told a Colorado athlete that the university doesn't accept recruits from Colorado because of past issue with drug tests has been fired. University President Frederick Slaybach said in a news conference Thursday morning that head coach Mike Jeffcoat was fired because of the email he sent to the Colorado athlete, as well as an unspecified NAIA rule violation. What kind of nonsense you have to do to violate a rule in NAIA sports? rules.
I think they had rules.
This is the backstory to this, which of course is the
first tonight. Autoplay starts to go.
No, don't want to see it for myself. The DenverChannel.com. But no, this is it. An email from the head coach at Texas Wesleyan University to Gavin Bell, an Aurora High School athlete, a senior at Cherokee Trail, who wanted to attend Texas Wesleyan to play baseball. It said, quote, "Hi, Gavin. Thanks for the interest in our program. Unfortunately, we are not recruiting players from the state of Colorado. In the past, players have had trouble passing our drug test. We have made a decision to not take a chance on student athletes," with only student capitalized on that, by the way, "from your state. You can thank your liberal politicians. Best of luck wherever you decide to play."
That's a good one.
Congratulations on getting your ass fired.
But
dude,
hey, you know, good for the kid too.
Good for the kid. That's awesome. Exactly. He doesn't have to go play at Texas Wesleyan. And you know, it's you're the one who comes out looking like the mature one. You're the high school senior, and you come out looking like the mature one.
Well, if there's anything that the last few weeks have shown us, that high school seniors can actually look more mature than adults a lot of the time.
Standing between us and the Almighty at this stage, basically.
Are the youths.
The teens. Of everybody, it's the
Cam
teens.
Cam Goldner.
The Cam Goldners of the world. I would trust Cam with my life.
You see, Cam is trying to raise money to get to
the Mountain West tournament. Go donate to Cam.
Go donate to Cam.
At Goldfinger on Twitter, GOELDFINGER. And Cam's the greatest.
Cam actually wants to be an honest-to-God journalist, and, you know, by God, bless your heart, Cam.
Make it
happen. Go do it, man. Kick ass.
Make it happen for Cam. He is the greatest of all the greats. It's the teens. The teens, man. They're the only thing that's keeping us going. Anyway, I just wanted to get that story in because it's hilarious to me.
It's too good. He got fired literally the next day.
The next day,
during baseball season, I'm imagining, right?
You know, it's kind of funny.
Texas Wesleyan season wouldn't be going on right now.
I think if this clown would have just stuck with, you know, unfortunately, we've had issues with drug things, so we're not really recruiting your area. I think he probably gets away with it. You can thank your liberal politicians. And that's what turns it into, oh, you're just being a jackass. Okay.
Like, oh, you're just an ass. Got it. Cool.
Right.
Perfect.
But that was pretty hilarious, and it's outstanding that dude got fired. I don't know. Is there anything that we didn't cover?
Yeah. I think we're all right for right now.
Okay. All right, good. Then I'm going to go take my dog on a walk.
Have fun.
I will. I got to fly to Omaha tomorrow and then bus.
Somewhere in Middle America.
Let's get right to the heart of matters. It's the heart that matters more. And then bus 3 hours to Sioux Falls because
Summit League travel is stupid as hell.
Brutal. Which is so weird because we flew to Sioux Falls direct when we had games in South Dakota, but because of the availability right now with the conference tournament, there's not enough availability on direct flights for us to get everybody to Sioux Falls. So we have to fly to Omaha and then bus. If we somehow made it through the first couple of days of the conference tournament and made it to the championship game, that would be on Tuesday. I would presumably fly home Wednesday.
What the hell, like, schedule is this conference basketball tournament?
Yeah, it's very strange.
Is it Sunday through Tuesday?
The 1 and 2 seeds play on Saturday, and then they get the day off on Sunday. Everybody else plays on Sunday. So if we wanted to win the conference tournament and make it into the NCAA tournament, we'd have to win 3 games in 3 days, which is a tough road to hoe. If we did make it into Tuesday, we would fly home on Wednesday. On Thursday, I have to go on a lacrosse road trip, fly to Chicago, get a rental car at whatever godforsaken airport in that town, and then drive to South
Chicago?
Bend, Indiana. Yeah. I have to go
Chicago's
to Notre
a pretty
Dame.
Big city. I'm sure you can find a rental car. I don't know.
No, that's what I'm saying. Though, like, it's probably going to be a nightmare. Like, those airports are just nothing but a mass of humanity. It's like one of those shots in, like, Cinderella Man of people walking through the streets of New York where all you can see is just, like, a sea of people's hats.
Yes.
That's what I just imagine the airports and running a car there is going to be like. So I have to get a rental car, drive to South Bend, play at Notre Dame on Saturday. Saturday night, drive back to Chicago, fly back home. Unless we somehow made it into the NCAA tournament, in which then presumably I'll stay in Chicago on Saturday night. We'll drive to the first four in Dayton on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun couple of weeks. Yeah, meanwhile, I still have another job on top of those.
there's definitely a point where you're doing a college basketball team broadcasting that you're like, if they don't make the tournament, I'm going to be okay with it.
Right, like, exactly. Then maybe I'll be able to sleep a normal schedule for like a week.
Well, it was always for me, because the Big West tournament, it was always, well, if they lose today, I can be in my car driving to spring training by 8 o'clock.
Right.
And I can get there at 2, stay at my in-law's place, and then go to the game the next morning.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, if you just search Texas Wesley on Twitter right now, there's a tweet from a dude who says, "Everyone who knows Coach Mike knows he's trash. Now he let the rest of the world know too." That is fantastic. But yeah, no, it's gonna be a fun couple of weeks. Let me tell you,
it should be
great. I'm very
enjoy
excited.
It. Enjoy spring training.
Very excited. Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be fun. Enjoy these games. Enjoy, you know. Getting to be familiar with the fact that maybe you'll be happy at some point this year. Maybe. Let's not go too crazy, because Lord knows that nothing ever really goes that well for us. But, oh my God. And somebody responded to the Texas Wesleyan tweet. "It's a disgrace for this Moran to even be a coach." M-O-R-A-N.
Moran.
Oh my God. Get a brain, Morans.
It's a disgrace for Colin Moran. The Pittsburgh Pirates prospect.
Oh man, that is fantastic. Yeah. Okay. I think we're good.
That'd be fun. All right. We're all right.
Okay. All right. That's it. I guess we'll wrap things up.
Next
back
one
with
might
ya.
Be maybe, yeah, in 2 weeks next when week. We're but together.
Maybe next week
in Scottsdale.
Yeah. If not next week, then get excited. 2 weeks from now, things are gonna be fun.
Woohoo!
Get pumped. Okay. That's it. Talk to you later. Love you. Bye.